Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 11, recorded June 1st, 2009. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We're here once again, sporadically as always, to record a podcast this time about one of my favorite little crustaceans.
Daphnia.
And Moina. The cladocerans. So,
what are they?
Well, they are crustaceans, as I was saying. They're also known as water fleas. They have sort of an oval shape, and they are known as water fleas because they have a characteristic little jerking motion as they swim through the water. They jerk up a little bit by virtue of their antennae that they move. It kind of pulls them up through the water, and then they kind of descend, and then they jerk again. And they continue in this motion constantly. And they vary in size. The largest ones are still not very big. Maybe, I don't know, a 16th of an inch or so in size. And the smaller ones are much, much smaller than that. I've cultivated a few varieties that stay very, very teeny. Most of them are probably around a millimeter or so in length and the longest dimension of their body, something like that. And they tend to be rather transparent, although they do vary in color. And in certain situations, they can get quite reddish. And in fact, can exist in large populations in bodies of water where they're so red that they make the water look kind of reddish, too. So that's kind of an introduction to what they are.
Okay. Why would we want to keep them?
Well, of course, they make great fish food. They are high in kind of roughage. Chitinous material. They do have some protein and various nutrients. They, of course, like just about any live food, they don't constitute a diet that you want to keep feeding your fish all the time, but they do make a good...
Not complete.
Yeah, it's not complete, but it's a good supplement. Fish tend to love them, and depending on the size, the basic rule of thumb is if your fish... are of the size that they'll notice it, they'll love to eat it. Really big fish, of course, won't really go after them, and very small fry can't handle adult Daphnia, but there are varying sizes. Moina tend to be a bit smaller than Daphnia in general, and when the Daphnia or Moina are just the newly born or hatched, then they're very, very small, and even quite a few fish fry can handle them that size. They're also useful to clean up fry tanks, because they will eat suspended matter in the water, even bacteria that are blooming in the water, they'll eat that kind of thing. They're good at eating algae, and so they have been used, apart from fish food, as algae removal crews of suspended unicellular type algaes and of bacterial blooms in fry tanks, helping keep the water quality up. So,
okay.
Those are a couple of other uses.
A couple different uses then.
Yeah.
What do we need to know to take care of them to have a culture of Daphnia?
Well, a couple of important things. I think probably most important of all is to realize that Daphnia are quite sensitive to certain substances in the water, particularly heavy metals. And so using freshly dechlorinated water generally does not work. I have run into a few Daphnia strains.
Dechlorinated water doesn't
work? Yeah, freshly dechlorinated water doesn't work because there are still heavy metals or whatever. Even if you use a heavy metal detoxifier, apparently they are so sensitive to it that that is not enough. And so you need to use water that has been aged.
How do you age water?
Or water that has been heavily filtered with certain things. You could use RO water and then put minerals in it, or you could age it maybe outside for several weeks, let algae grow in it first, and then it will probably be okay.
So aging water, you put it in a container and you just let it sit there?
Yeah, or you could take water from an established tank that hasn't had too recent a water change, and then it'll probably be okay. You can use things like that. That's a big thing right there. You need to make sure the water quality is very high and that you're using some pretty safe water. If you have access to, for example, a pond where Daphnia are already growing, then you could use that water. But and then you'll find some funny Daphnia in funny places. I know that my aunt and uncle have a a backyard pond that they don't really do much with, but every year there's a bumper crop of Daphnia in there, despite the fact that they use pesticides on their lawn and, you know, the water from the sprinkler that's freshly chlorinated gets in there and all kinds of things. It works. So you do find some populations that are more resistant than others, but others are very, very sensitive, and I dealt with both. Just remember that. Water has to be very, very suitable for them in those senses. You need a container. One of the containers that I've used, an aquarium, of course, works well. The first Daphnia culture that I had, for quite a number of years, was in a 10-gallon aquarium with about 7 gallons of water in it, probably, and just a little air stone on a little trickle, just a bare trickle going on. That was it. There were a couple of snails in there. I think I had ram's horn snails in there. And then the Daphnia. And that was about it. I could harvest a number of Daphnia from that tank every day if I wanted to, and I often did. I fed them just normal baker's yeast dissolved in a small amount of water and then added with like an eyedropper to the tank just to make the water very slightly cloudy. And then when it cleared up, I'd do it again. And that went for years. I've also used acrylic aquariums. That was a glass aquarium, but I've used acrylic aquariums. You can basically use almost anything that's not going to leach particles into the water. You can use an old tub or something like that, like a Rubbermaid stock tank. If you had one of those to dedicate to it, that would be great. Probably any sort of large plastic container, as long as you make sure that it's not leaching anything into the water. It's been, you know, carefully cleaned out without any soap or chemicals. Probably use that. And like I said, you want some slight water movement. In many cases, that's good. Just a little trickle from an airstone is good, not with really fine bubbles, because it can get trapped in their carapace and make them float up to the top and die, but with fairly coarse bubbles.
Okay. You mentioned you had kept them with snails. Are there other possible tank mates? Is there advantage to having a tank mate? Do they need it?
I know that there are some people who will do multicultures with several species in there. I've done moina with snails and with amphipods all together. That seems to work fine. And with the darrow worms, or the naiad worms, that's another name for the species. They all live together in the same place, and they seem to do fine.
It doesn't matter when you go to harvest them, they can just all go in mixed?
They can, yeah. You can. Of course, you got to be careful what you're feeding and so on. You don't want to put snails in with certain things and so on, but you don't want to put snails in with fish eggs, for example, because the snails will eat them, but they all seem to work well. Of course, you don't want to put Daphnia with any kind of fish. You don't want to put a filter in a Daphnia tank, because the Daphnia eat by filtering things from the water, and so in general
the
a filter...
The water's too clean, they won't have anything to eat.
Right, and they will also be sucked up by many filters. They wouldn't be sucked up by a sponge filter, and you might be able to run one of those, but again, they want to be filtering some of the particulates out of the water that a sponge filter would sort of be competition. Although, I'm not going to say it won't work, I'm just saying I haven't done it for that reason.
Okay. So, propagation-wise, as long as they have this set up with the water how they like it, they just reproduce by themselves. You don't have to do anything, right?
Right. They tend to have parthenogenic females, so females that will give birth to live young without mating in the population. They have quite a few of those. As long as the population's healthy, you get a large number of those. If there's stress on the population, you'll get males, and you'll get resting eggs, and those... they form in little saddle shapes on the backs of the females. They're often dark or kind of a light sort of tan color with little spots in them. And those are the resting eggs and will be able to withstand long periods of dryness. And like I say, those are formed in times of stress, environmental stress. If that's happening, you know, your culture may crash soon and you want to try to start another one. It's always good to have a backup culture of anything. So if you can, have more than one Daphnia culture going at a time in case one crashes. A lot of reasons for crashes can include overfeeding, underfeeding, lack of water quality. You do want to do water changes with properly aged water. that's one way to harvest them, is just to drain out the water through some sort of straining device like a brine shrimp net, and then remove the daphnia from that water, and then add new water to the tank. You want to do that just like you would on an aquarium, 20% a couple times a week, something like that.
Okay. You mentioned overfeeding and underfeeding. Do you actually need to feed them, or do they just filter the water?
Well, you do need to feed them. They'll filter something out of the water. Some cultures apparently do all right if you're feeding other things in the tank, and including bacteria, and the bacteria that are produced serve as food for the daphnia. Green water or like a frozen algae paste, something like that, is a great food for them. Green water is fairly easy to grow, and that's a good food for them. Like I said, baker's yeast that has been dissolved in a small amount of properly aged water and then added in a dropper fulls until the water is slightly cloudy is good. There are quite a few other recipes on the internet. I've seen things for blended up peas, green peas, and things like that, or blended up spinach, pulverized and so on, and added in small quantities. Lots of different things really can be used. The basic thing is they don't really care what they eat as long as it's the right size, and you don't really care what they eat as long as it's nutritious enough for them to be able to grow and reproduce fairly quickly on. So those are some of the things that have been used.
Okay. Is there anything particular we need to know of caveats or?
Yes, beyond the one that we already told about with the water, you have to be really careful not to use fresh water from the tap, even if it's been dechlorinated, is that hydra will quickly destroy culture. If you get hydra in there...
Where would you get hydra from?
They show up in aquariums quite often on plants, or if you're collecting daphnia in the wild or moina in the wild, you can inadvertently collect some of those along with them. I've had them show up in planted tanks, especially where I'm feeding small live foods like microworms or something like that. They'll show up in those tanks. So you have to be careful not to... it's very easy to cross-contaminate a tank, too, with hydra. So if you do have a daphnia culture, be very careful about what goes in the tank. If you're using anything to collect daphnia or change water or anything else, that should not be cross-contaminated by touching the water from a tank that has hydra in it.
Tell us again, just to make sure everybody knows what hydra is so they can recognize it.
A hydra is a cnidarian, which is related to anemones and corals and things of that sort. It has a body shape very similar to an anemone. It's just smaller than many anemones and lives in fresh water, but it's just a tree shape, like a tree without leaves on it, and it has tentacles, stinging tentacles, a mouth in the center of the little area of tentacles, and they will catch daphnia with the tentacles, direct it to the mouth, and then they reproduce. They can reproduce asexually and produce huge numbers of hydra and wipe out your culture. Fairly hard to remove.
Okay, how do you get rid of them?
Well, there's a couple ways. I know that there are some fish that will eat them, but you can't really keep fish in with daphnia, because they'll also eat the daphnia. But I had some success years ago with Limnaea pond snails. That's the scientific name, Limnaea. I think that's how it's pronounced. They will eat some hydra. I have heard, although I have not tried, green shrimp, a relative of the red cherry shrimp. I've heard that they eat hydra. Red cherry shrimp apparently do not, in my experience. And the best thing is just prevention. Try to keep them out of your cultures, because once they get there, it's hard to get rid of them, like I said.
Okay.
Let's see, a few other things. Daphnia and moina are a bit different. Moina seem to be able to manage a higher population density in smaller volume containers. So if you want maximum output as far as number of items of live food that you're producing, that's probably a good way to go with moina. And they do seem a bit more forgiving as far as water quality in some cases. I've done both. I like them both. I'd probably go with Moina if I had to make a choice now after having done both of them for a fair amount of time. So, there you go.
Is there anything else you want to tell us?
I think that's about it. It's just a heck of a lot of fun to watch fish eat them, and the fish really appreciate it. They are great food for breeding fish, bringing fish into breeding condition. And, have fun.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.